I'm Kim Carson. I'm so happy you found my podcast, Conversations with Kim. Whether I'm having a conversation with a celebrity, an author, history maker, record breaker, or the average everyday person, we all have a story to tell. And maybe that story just might change another person's life. We can learn so much from each other. Let us discover some of life's most valuable lessons with today's guest on Conversations with Kim. Today, my conversation is with Peter Gethers, who is an author, screenwriter, playwright, book editor, and film and television producer. Today, our conversation is about his latest book, My Mother's Kitchen, Breakfast, Lunch, Dinner, and the Meaning of Life. Thank you so much for talking to me today, Peter.
Oh, thanks for having me. Just hearing that description, no wonder I'm tired.
So this is a memoir about a son's discovery that his mom, he has like a genius for understanding these connections, these really intimate connections between cooking and people and love. So how did that start to unfold and become clear to you?
Well, like everything, that it is kind of a memoir in the story of my mom. It took a lifetime for me to understand it. My mother was a very important person in the food world, which I can get back to. But when she was 85 years old, she had a very severe stroke. And this is when I began to realize just quite how extraordinary she was, because I was told she was going to have locked-in syndrome, that she'd never be able to speak or move again at age 84. 6 weeks later, she walked into a Christmas party because she refused to be wheeled in, and she was speaking and making jokes and walking and eating, of course. And 6 weeks after that, she moved back to her apartment in New York. She was indomitable. And food was so important to her that over the last few years of her life, what I got so interested in how she had become who she had become, which was someone who was at a great level of peace with herself. And I thought, this is really interesting to me. And I asked her what cooking did for her. And I said, did you cook because it gave other people so much pleasure? And she said, no, which really surprised me. She said, I cooked for myself. And I said, really? What did it give you? And she thought, and she was quite aphasic, and finally she came up with the perfect word. She said, it gave me identity. Mm. And I realized, people who have that sense of identity also have a great sense of comfort. And we're all looking for comfort. And I went to myself, I want to see how this person became who she became.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, please.
So I went to her and I said, you know, I want to know more about you. Let's start with food, because that's really an access point, it was, for my mom. And so I got her to give me her fantasy breakfast, lunch, and dinner menus. And I decided I was going to learn to cook all these things. So over a couple of years, I cooked for her and with her and learned from her. And we talked about every possible thing in life from her early days, literally up until the day she died, which was about a year ago. And we talked about death and all sorts of serious things. It was a remarkably honest relationship. And midway through the process, I went, well, I'm not just learning how to cook from my mother. And I tell the stories of my learning how to cook, which I think are reasonably hilarious because I bumble my way through them, but I get there. But I learned about life from her in a powerful and profound way. And I went, this isn't just a life experience for me. I'm going to write a book about it. I am a writer after all, so I should share these things. And that's a long-winded way of how the book came about.
Absolutely. And your mom, Judy Gethers, was like a celebrated cook and cookbook writer. She was also a mother figure and a mentor to so many different chefs, Wolfgang Puck, Jonathan Waxman, Nancy Silverton. And she also ran the cooking school, Ma Cuisine, teaching right alongside Julia Child. I mean, her life was cooking, and this all happened later in life?
She didn't start until she was 53 years old. That was her first job. when she took a non-paying job at Ma Maison to become a good French cook.
That was
her goal. She worked there 3 nights a week and worked. They said, "We'll work you to the bone." And a year later, she was the mentor to all these chefs and opened up a cooking school and was pals with Julia Child. It was incredible.
It's incredible. And you know, you visited your mom, you know, at least twice a week. I wanted to know what those visits looked like. And what did your mom share about, like, food, family, love, and how they're all entwined?
Well, everything, because I really wanted to learn how she achieved this kind of extraordinary serenity when she had so many ups and downs in her life, especially over the last decade of her life, because I was not that serene a person, and I don't think I would have dealt with a lot of things that the way she was able to. You know, she just didn't give up. She was, when she had her stroke, and I told you how severe it was, her doctor, who is a wonderful gerontologist, said to me, "I've never seen anything like this. Your mother's never been depressed." She said, at first I thought maybe she was in denial. He said, "Her life is so diminished, but she just literally from day one went, 'I don't need antidepressants. I'm not depressed. I understand what happened. I understand what my life is going to be. This is what it is. I'm going to deal with it and move on.'" And she just
went
forward with no regret.
Yeah, she just pressed through. She just pressed, continued to press through.
And pressed through with a great joy of life.
Right.
She never felt sorry for herself. She just went, "You know what? This is what my life is now. This is what I'm going to appreciate."
It's like acceptance. There's a peace in that as well.
And I believe, and I write about this in the book, it's why I got so interested and why I went through this process, a lot of that came from what she learned and did in the kitchen over the 30 years before this happened. It was quite extraordinary. And I did learn a lot of, you know, you say, what happened in those sessions? I cooked, and she often laughed at my ineptitude and made fun of me. You know, I often said the words to her, like, she would go, "Oh my God, you have no idea what you're doing." And I'd go, "Well, what happened to the nice, quiet, aphasic mom I had 5 minutes ago? Now that you're making fun of me, you can talk perfectly?"
Yeah.
So I learned over the several years about really her youth and my family. And the more I learned, the more impressed I was, and the more I realized what a truly strong person she was. And I tell a story in the book that years ago, when she first went to work at Ma Maison, was first working with Wolf, I visited L.A. I was living back in New York at this point, and she was in Los Angeles. And I walked in the back door of my parents' house, and I knew she'd been doing this in the food world, but I hadn't been home since she'd started.
Yeah.
And I watched her, and she was chopping. You know, I'm sure everybody listening knows the way real chefs can chop something like it. Star Wars warp speed kind
of
thing.
Right.
And perfectly. And I was watching her, not just in awe of her mechanics, but there's this remarkable sense of peacefulness about her and serenity. And I really thought to myself, she's now a different person. And she used to say to me she never had to see a shrink because she worked out all her problems while she was chopping and baking and cooking and doing all these things. That was her peace.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful, you know? I mean, you're in you know, what I found interesting was, like, I was curious, like, what the attraction was that your mom had to your dad, because they were pretty different kind of people, right?
My parents met when they were 14 years old in summer camp, and they were married until my dad died. He died young at age 67. So they were still together quite a while. They were married at age 21. And they survived my dad being in the Army in World War II, gone for 3 years. And then he was a struggling actor and didn't make much money for a long time. So they went through a lot of different stages. They had an insanely good marriage. I mean, it was kind of startling. They loved each other and they liked each other. And what was very interesting to me also, and I talked to my mom about this, she had been a stay-at-home wife and mother until she was 53 and went to work at Ma Maison. And everyone thought my dad would not react well. He was used to being catered to. It's not that they didn't have things in common. They just had very different personalities. My dad was very outgoing. My mother let him be the star of the family, and people assumed he was the strength of the family. I learned it was my mother who was the strength of the family. She was the one with the iron will and the steel backbone. But when she was 53, she said, I want to do this. And he didn't hesitate. He said, that's wonderful. I approve 100%. I'm thrilled for you.
Wow.
And suddenly he was alone three nights a week. And my mother actually became a star in the food world. And my dad told me later that he knew it was time for her to change. It was time for her to grow. She'd been growing for decades. Each decade, my mother got stronger and stronger. And he said it was time for her to really move on with her life and become a new person. And he was confident enough that he would love the new person she was becoming as much as the old person she had been. And of course, that's what happened. And it was mutual.
Yeah. And I just, I love the differences in their, you know, they're both very multifaceted people. And yet they understood each other. There's like this understanding or something.
Well, there was a perfect simpatico. You know, my dad, who was wildly funny, and he was a very talented writer and became a talented television director and producer, and he was very, very flamboyant, an overpowering personality. And my mother was very quiet. People thought she was meek. She never was, but it took a lot to realize that it wasn't meekness that kept her quiet. It was just strength that kept her quiet, and she was a huge support for the family. And, you know, once she went to work at Ma Maison and then became this figure that she became in the food world, she also realized that she had a lot to offer younger people. And she stayed friends with people who were much younger until she was in her 90s. And they would come to her for advice, especially in the 70s. They were going through divorces or they were going through sexual identity problems, whatever. And my mother was very non-judgmental, and she would just give them sound advice, and she became this sagacious person.
Peter, I want to get some website info, but can one last question? I know you have to go. Talk about bringing your mom's friends and loved ones all together at the table that one last time.
Well, what I was hoping to do with this book was to create this fantastic feast while my mom was still alive. And the idea was to bring Wolf and Nancy Silverton, the chefs she mentored and who mentored her. But also, as I said, she had friends and loved ones from every decade, age teenage to 80-something years old. So I wanted to create this feast to really bring everyone together. My mother died before I was able to do this, so instead, this great feast was for about 75 people at her memorial. And what was nice about it in a strange way, although I wish I had been able to do it when she was alive, as I say, she knew the way everybody felt about her. It was really clear.
Yeah.
So this just turned into a huge celebration the way she would have loved it to have been. It was not a mournful service or memorial. It was just a pure celebration of people eating, most of which I made, much of which I made for 75 people, which is reasonably difficult. We just had a feast. We drank my mother's favorite wine. We drank my mother's favorite dessert wine. My very favorite thing about the evening was after, when there were about 20 people left and we were just exhausted and swigging the dessert wine, overlooking Central Park at a friend of my mother's apartment. That's where we held it. Incredible fireworks went off.
Oh.
And it was like a final end to my mother's life. It was just this insane celebration. People thought I arranged it, but
yeah,
it was a concert that was in the park. But it was just like, you know what? Life is to be celebrated. So it was a perfect ending.
I love it. What's your website, Peter?
You know what? I don't actually have my own website. I have author pages on barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com with links to the book. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. Anyone can reach me. The book can be bought. at any online bookseller or any bricks and mortar bookseller. And so that's it.
Thank you so much. I love the quote, "Hope is a good breakfast, but it is a bad supper." It took me a minute to get it, and I'm like, ooh, I like it. I've been talking today to Peter Gathers, who is an author, screenwriter, playwright, book editor, and film and television producer. Today, our conversation, it was all about his new book, My Mother's Kitchen, Breakfast, Lunch, Dinner, and the Meaning of Life. I loved your book, and it's so perfect for Mother's Day coming up here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Have a great one, Peter. Thank you for talking to me today.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
You've been listening to Conversations with Kim. Reach out to me, Kim Carson, via social media. On Instagram and YouTube, Kim Carson Now. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, Kim Carson. And listen to me mornings on myfm1065.com. Hear more episodes of Conversations with Kim at kimcarson.podomatic.com. Until we meet again, thanks for listening to Conversations with Kim.